Hi, everyone, and welcome to Autism Hope Library. I am just so excited. You've seen him. You've seen him do some amazing interviews. You've learned so much from him, and we have him back. Dr. Devin Houston, thank you so much for being here today. And I know we're going to talk about a topic that so many parents are just, you know, I know myself included, these are issues that are happening to most of us and most of our kiddos, gas, bloating, and stool issues in autism. So I guess we're talking about poop today, which is a big topic. And so welcome, Dr. Houston. Thank you so much for being here.
Kristen, I love these chats that we have. You know, we can have fun with it, but we also take it seriously enough to let parents and others know that they're getting something out of it, hopefully. So, I have to tell you, way back in grad school, someone told us, if you're ever doing a research, don't get into the research where you have to look at poop all the time. So, and guess where we are. So
exactly.
Luckily I don't have to like actually be there, but you know, if you've gone through med school and you've been on autopsies and worked on cadavers, poop is just not really that big a deal anymore. So we're happy to do it. In fact, I think since we're talking about gas and bloating and poop, I think we kind of need to get over it. You know, my granddaughter and I do this. She's 3 years old and she's at that stage where she'll toot, you know, or I'll toot. And she looks at you and just like, and we just think it's so funny. And it was just, did you toot? I said, yeah, what about it? And then she toots. And
but tooting is healthy. And I think that people do need to get away from this perception of talking about poop or talking about gas. You know, this is something that, especially with our kiddos, some of our kiddos, and when I say kiddos, and I say this during every interview, I don't care if you have a 2-year-old or a 52-year-old, you're somebody's kiddo, but some of our family members don't have language. And so they can't really express sometimes when maybe they have gas or bloating, or they can't, you know, pass a bowel movement. And then there's different, you know, behaviors that can come from that. But really, if we could just really look at, you know, that issue, imagine how well they can do. Because we always say at Autism Hope Alliance, if they can feel good, they can do good. And all of us know that if you've ever had gas, bloating, constipation, or any of the above, boy, I mean, we're just not in good moods.
Yeah. That's very true. I think it's just, it's something that everyone deals with. Everyone, you know, everyone has their own version and stuff. I think we need to just start thinking of it more as something to indicate how our general health is going. So it all goes back to the importance of the gut as not just a digestive organ, but an indicator of immune health. And which can lead to other things such as cardiovascular health and neurological health, brain health. So I think those are indications. What comes out in the end, is kind of important to give you an idea of what's going on, especially with your kid is nonverbal. And as we all know, kids on the spectrum just have all sorts of gut issues. I mean, if you read Dr. Tim Bowie from Mass General, his research, he's shown that a high number of kids on the spectrum are lacking in certain gut enzymes, which contribute to bad bacteria or what's known as dysbiosis. So it's not just what we eat, but what happens to the food once it gets out of the stomach and into the small intestine and on into the colon. So that's kind of what we're aiming at. And, you know, I'll let you kind of guide me as to where we should start.
Well, so why do you think kids, you know, on the autism spectrum often seem to have problems with gas and bloating and constipation and diarrhea?
Well, again, it's could be a number of things. One, you look at what's first, you just go stepwise. What's going in? What kind of foods are you looking at? Sometimes we're limited. You don't want your kids to starve. Maybe they don't eat the best foods, but you're getting something into them. Carbs and starches seem to be their favorite. And as chance would have it, carbs and starches are what gut bacteria love to feed on. And we hope that the carbs and starches have undergone some kind of enzymatic digestive process by the time they get into the gut. If they haven't, then they become an excellent source of food for gas-producing bacteria that just feed on and they multiply, which makes more gas and such. So just having food laying around in the lower portion of the gut can disrupt the balance of bacterial species. We all have, 100 trillion cells of bacteria, but there's a population of good bacteria. There's some bad bacteria. There's a little bit of yeast and fungus that's considered normal. It's when there's an imbalance between all those populations that you get problems like gas and constipation or loose stools or diarrhea. So that's one thing we have to look at. And if you look at the food, carbs and starches can lead to tremendous changes, switches in the species that grow. So the idea behind using enzymes to kind of facilitate the breakdown of the foods, get the breakdown started quicker while the food is still in the stomach. Break down those starches in the stomach, convert them into simple sugars where they're absorbed out. And that's, the simple sugars are what the brain needs, the muscles need for energy and such. So get those done and where there's very little left in the gut to feed the bad bacteria. They will get their nutrition anyway from what's coming through anyway. We just don't want so much of that, the raw, undigested material left around. So I think that's the first thing you want to look at. And then there's simple things like, digestion is a process. The first thing is mechanical breakdown. Is your kid chewing your food? Now, most kids, if they really like something, they wolf it down and they tend to stuff their little mouths. I'm always telling my little granddaughter, little bites, and chew your food. So the better the food is broken down mechanically by chewing, that's better for the enzymes. It gives more surface area for the enzymes to work on, so we can break down the large bulk part of the food first, and then get down to the breaking down the bonds on a molecular basis later on. So that's the first part. And then, of course, in the stomach, you have all things like acid, which kickstarts your own digestive enzymes in the stomach and in the pancreas and in the small intestine. So I think gets things going. If you take an enzyme supplement, doesn't care if there's acid there or not, they're already active and there's no waiting period like you do for your own pancreatic enzymes to go on. So they start to work. In fact, they love the acid condition. So there's usually plenty of acid in the stomach for them to work on. Even if there's low acid, the enzymes still work on a broad enough pH range that they'll still be active and do the job that they're supposed to do. So all of that, we hope it all works, smoothly and such, and gets in there and all the breakdown occurs. But, it's a complex procedure. A lot of things have to be working right. And when one thing breaks down, everything downstream of that is disrupted. So you got to take a kind of a stepwise approach to it. Enzymes and probiotics are important. Got to make sure the physiology of the gut is good, that there's no underlying disease processes. the thing we worry about the most with kids on the spectrum is inflammation. Gut inflammation just wreaks havoc in the gut. It destroys the cell walls, the lining of the gut, the cell walls, and within those cell walls is the means for producing the enzymes that we make for digestion. So, and in fact, Dr. Bowie's work illustrated that because a lot of the kids in the spectrum had gut injury, and a lot of the cells in the lining of the gut were missing, that's why several important enzymes in digestion were also missing in these kids, because that's where a lot of the finishing work for enzymatic work occurs. They're produced in the enzymes produced from the intestinal lining cells. So if they're broken down or destroyed by inflammation, then there's going to be a lot less enzyme to be going on. So in that case, luckily there are enzyme supplements that can help do the job. But the first thing you want to look for, if you think that might be a problem, is how well your child tolerates dairy. Now, I know a lot of the, parents are keeping their kids casein free, so they may be off dairy. But if you've known in the past, before you knew everyone went gluten-free and casein-free, if you know they were also lactose intolerant, if they had dairy that they had, you know, they were miserable, their little bowels were cramping and diarrhea and, you know, just really bad bouts of gas, then it's a good sign they don't have the lactase enzyme to break down the milk sugar. So lactase is one of those enzymes that produced in the intestinal lining. So if it's not there, there's a good chance that other enzymes involved in digestion may be diminished as well. So just little things to kind of observe. So that's kind of one thing, you know, look, you know, and you look at what's going in, and then you try to adjust just from there. If the food is bothersome, if the food produces an intolerance, of course, you have to avoid that or find a substitute for it. When you're starting to integrate diets into a child's lifestyle, that also is disruptive to gut bacteria. So, all of that kind of works into, I'm making it sound really kind of, it is very complex, but I don't want to make it sound so complex that one doesn't even want to try to fix it. It's just a matter of observing and then just kind of trying to realize what's going on. And so that's what we have all sorts of doctors that work with children with autism that have seen these same observations, and they know, they've got good ideas of what's behind them and such. So that's one thing. Another thing, good communication between a parent and a doctor, their child's doctor, because they can contribute a lot to it. And luckily, a lot of these doctors are now well-versed in how enzymes and probiotics work. So they can be very helpful in recommending certain enzymes that'll help children.
So, you know, when you explained, you know, basically a child that could be having food sensitivities or intolerances or allergies, maybe your example was dairy, that could be causing the bloating, the gas, constipation, and diarrhea. Depending on different foods, it could not just be dairy. It could be, you know, rice or potato or corn or, you know, lots of different gluten. And so I think as a parent myself, you know, I know with my son, I'm always looking at the diet, like always going, okay, you know, doesn't mean that he can always eat that. Like I know he could have potatoes for quite some time, and then suddenly he couldn't have potatoes anymore, even though we were giving him in moderation and, you know, trying to be okay with that. He seems to not do well. Eggs he could have for a while. Now he can't have eggs if it's like a scrambled egg, but he can have an egg if it's baked into something for whatever reason, like he seems okay with that. And so, you know, as a parent, if you're watching, you know, often we might do these food allergy tests. They don't always show intolerances. So like his allergy test did not show eggs. His allergy test didn't show potatoes. But yet, if I gave him a scrambled egg, that kid would projectile vomit everywhere, right? That was a pretty clear indication that he probably shouldn't have that. We waited a while. It was probably about a year before. I said, well, let me test it if I just put one egg as I'm making this mix that I was making him, right? It was a gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, monk fruit muffin. And he seemed to be okay. And I thought, okay. And I really looked at the signs, like, you know, was there any behavioral issues? How was his poop? You know, how was all this other stuff going on? And so, and the reason I want to share that is because I get so many emails from parents that will say, well, no, we don't need to change the diet. The allergy test said he can have, or she can have all this. And that's not always the case. And so that's why it's important to listen to what Dr. Houston is saying regarding the gas and the bloating and the constipation or diarrhea. It's not normal for your child not to poop every day. I don't care what anybody tells you, it's you're supposed to poop. And so when I talk to other families, they'll say, oh, the doctor said if he poops once a week, it's okay. Honestly, get a new doctor, because that's not accurate. Like, we need to eliminate. It's so important for the health and the brain and the just everything working together. And if you're expending all this energy doing therapy in schools and fighting IEPs, but yet the gut isn't doing well, I don't care, and this is just my personal opinion, but I don't care how many IEP meetings you're going to fight at school. If the kid's gut's not doing well, those therapists and those teachers and those therapies aren't going to do what they could be doing. And so I always try to say they kind of go together. So I wanted just to make sure I said that. My question to you is, you know, when somebody, let's say, has a food intolerance, you know, do you take different types of enzymes throughout, you know, different times of the day? You know, how does that work? Is there different enzymes for, I know you spoke about dairy. Are there different enzymes for different things? Let's say, for example, you know, your child is sensitive to something, but maybe you're going to put it in and test it out with an enzyme instead.
Yeah. The good and bad thing about enzymes is that they're specific. There's not a single enzyme available that'll break down all kinds of foods. So you have to kind of figure out which food is causing the issues, or at least what class of foods, whether it's proteins, carbs, fats, polyphenolic foods, those type of things. And then you match the enzyme that will help break down that food. So there's proteases, enzymes that break down proteins, that'll work on wheat, dairy proteins. They don't do anything for carbohydrates or fats, though. So when we're talking carbs and starches, we're talking about basically large sugars linked together into large molecules. So you want enzymes like amylase, glucoamylase, lactase, galactosidase. And I'll come back and talk to some of these enzymes. Their specificities are important since we're talking about gas and bloating. But these are the enzymes that will help break down starches and carbs into smaller sugars, which the gut should be able to handle. So that, you know, if and the thing, I want to go back to the thing you said about allergy testing. You know, allergy testing, again, is looking for something, foods that your body has specifically mounted an immune response to. But they've somehow, that portion of food entered the bloodstream, which triggered the immune system to mount an attack against it, to take it out. And so your body produced antibodies to some portion of that food, not the whole food, but to some protein or some starch or fat in that food. So, and that's what allergy testing, if the panel includes that specific allergen, well, yeah, that'll show up. But food intolerances are not just, it's a broader thing. It's not things that just cause, that we're allergic to, but it's just things that your body may not have mounted an immunological attack against, but your gut is definitely distressed by those foods being there. So yeah, that's what I mean by intolerance. Lactose intolerance, it's not an immunological issue. It's basically a gut issue. You don't have the enzyme to break down the lactose, and the lactose being a large sugar in the gut, and think of the gut as a semi-permeable tube. When you have that large molecule inside the gut, it tends to draw in smaller molecules like water. So it has an osmotic effect. It pulls water into the gut, that's why you get the diarrhea and the loose stools. And then the lactose is a food source for gas producing bacteria. So ideally you will have the lactose broken down in the stomach or the small intestine. And it's not supposed to be there in the colon or in the lower parts of the gut. And when it is, that's when it causes all the distress. I'm lactose intolerant. Most people over 30, 35 are to some degree. If I want a bowl of ice cream, I'm for sure taking a lactase enzyme to break that down in the stomach, and then no worries. Sometimes it's difficult, and that's why getting back to the practical side of these webinars is the fact that there are different products out there. There are targeted, focused products. If you really know, if you have a good idea of what is causing what food, what portion of that food is causing an issue, then you can go find the exact enzyme that'll work on it. If you're not so sure, there are what we call broad spectrum enzyme products. Enzymes that in one capsule might have a combination of 10 to 20 different enzymes in various ratios. And so you can hopefully take one product, buy one product and take a couple or two or three capsules and that'll take care of the problem. Even if you don't know exactly what the problem is, the enzyme is there in the capsule and is doing the work. So me, I kind of like to know what's going on, what the issue is, so then I can specifically counter it with the right enzyme or the enzyme I suspect. I had my gallbladder removed several years ago, and the doctor said, "Well, cut back on fats in your diet." And I said, "Sure," and I just started taking more lipase enzyme. The lipase is the enzyme that breaks down fats. And I've not really had to worry about taking anything out of my diet. So
are there tests that show that, that will show maybe, like I only know the lactose one. And I don't exactly know the exact test, but I know that my son had an upper and lower GI scope. And then and there was all these different tests that were done while he was having the scope. And the doctor, the gastroenterologist came back and she says, "I'm shocked." She said, he's not producing any of his own enzymes to break down lactose. And I had asked her, I'm like, "Is that a common thing?" And she's like, "No, I mean, he was at like 0% available." Like she's like, "I've never seen it that dramatic."
Yeah.
And so then I said, "Well, some of his medications, if you're on any medications, if your child, my son has epilepsy as well. So there's different, RXs that we give him and pharmaceuticals. And, there are trace amounts of lactose in a lot of those pharmaceuticals." And so I said to her, and it was funny because I said to her, "Well, I know there's enzymes out there, digestive enzymes that can help with that." And she kind of like poo-pooed it. Like she was just like, "Well," and I said, "Well, I kind of know a little bit about enzymes." I said, "So I'm just gonna try it myself." Right. And so I did, I bought, a digestive enzyme that I know is good, that I know it breaks down lactose. And I give him, with every single time I give him now his medication, I give him two of those just to make sure that even though there's trace amounts, I know that at least I'm doing what I feel like as helping his body, and it does seem to help, you know. And so, you know, are there other tests though? Because when she had told me that test, I was like, well, gosh, are there protease tests? Are there, you know, are there other I wish there was. I don't know. Are there? And I don't know about them.
Yeah, for like lactose intolerance, there's
one. But what about all the other stuff?
Yeah, there's a hydrogen. They measure the amount of hydrogen. But the thing is, if you're lactose intolerant, you pretty much know. You finally see a pattern. Yeah. Every time I drink a glass of milk or eat a cheese pizza, I get the runs and my gut cramps up. So that's a pretty good indication. But other things like fat, if you're not digesting fat, then again, we're talking, you know, you ever get back to the poop issue. Then undigested fat in the stools, the stools become light colored and they tend to float. And also, if you look very closely on the top of the water in the bowl, you'll see a little grease slick, a little oil slick on there. So that's a good indication that that fats are not being broken down. And again, that kind of contributes to the loose stool effect. I just recall an email I got a couple of weeks ago from a mom who her child wasn't on the spectrum, but she had a metabolic issue, and she was kind of getting. No, she was tiptoeing around the issue. She was kept asking me questions about what enzymes can help with and such. And I just took a shot and said, she listed all the foods. I noticed there was a lot of fats in her diet, which she needed. She needed to gain weight. She was not malnourished, and she was also on a G-tube. So I said, you know, and if by chance you're seeing stools that are rather loose, not firm, not well formed, maybe smaller than usual, and they seem a little greasy, you may need to add in a fat busting enzyme like a lipase. And she came back quickly. She said, that is exactly the issue. I didn't really know how to address it to you. And I said, you know, I get these all the time. So yes, it's not something you're going to embarrass me about. So she was very appreciative of the fact that I could
answer that question.
Yeah, I get to that. So sometimes you have to kind of like poke people and say, it's okay. Yeah, just come right out. You know, and but yeah.
So now,
it's,
how do families find different products that, you know, I know with Houston Enzymes, I know they can call you guys, or I'm not sure. How do they do that? Do they email you? Do they call you if they're having questions?
You know, I think there are lots of enzyme companies out there, as you're well aware of. And, you know, honestly, we all get them pretty much from the same source. We use manufacturers that pretty much get them from the same source. The difference is who is doing the formulation, how well do they understand what enzymes do and what they don't do. I'm a biochemist. My degree's in biochemistry. I actually did my graduate work on enzymes and enzyme mechanisms. So I know a lot about enzymes. And in my subsequent research career, I dabbled in nutrition and gut health and such. So knowledge of that, and you add that to, because again, honestly, anybody can start an enzyme company and they can put out an enzyme product. Doesn't mean it's going to do the right thing. But even I can't tell you exactly how an enzyme is going to help a specific person. I need information too. So customer needs to start a relationship with the company, and not just the salesperson or the marketing person. Try to get to the technical info person and ask them about their background. How much do they know? You know, what are their degrees in? What are their experience? And get that. And just try to develop that one-on-one. You know, we're not a huge company. We try to be very upfront we're trying to form relationships with our customers, but that you on their website, you should see all sorts of contact info information, emails, phone numbers, that type of thing. So that's one thing. And I spend most of my day either on the phone or answering emails, questions from all sorts of people. And the other thing is that enzymes are expensive now. 20 years ago when I got into this, they weren't, but they work and they're very effective. So the demand has gone up, which has caused corresponding increases in raw material costing and increases our costs, and which we have to pass along. So it can get expensive for someone who's trying to figure out things. Well, what about this product? What about this product? And even I'm not sure. I can tell you in a large population, a certain percentage will benefit, but on a N of one case, not. So see if they have free samples, see if they'll cut you a break and say, let's just try some things first and see what's working. And our experiences will keep the costs down by sending free samples out. Let them try and find out. I don't want to sell someone something that doesn't work. So I think I would rather spend the money, giving enzymes away to people to make sure they get something that works, or they find out it doesn't work. I mean, that's the other thing. Enzymes may not work for everybody. It may be something else entirely. So again, just keep an eye on your checkbook and your wallet. The main thing is try to get a working relationship with whatever company you're dealing with. And I think that will benefit both the company and the customer in the long run.
Well, and I think with enzymes too, if they're going to work, if you have the right blend, like let's say you're looking for something that's going to digest fat or lactose or protease or, your proteins. My experience is if you are on the right enzyme, they're going to work. So it's not like you have to wait and go, oh, is it going to take a week? Like you take that enzyme and you eat your food and you'll know, if you're all of a sudden not feeling pain and bloating. The difference with our kiddos is you're going to have to, if they're not verbal, you're going to need to look at their behaviors. Do they look like they're happier? Are they not putting their stomach on the ball? Like I know with my son in the beginning, he had some digestive issues. And so we had a yoga ball and he would literally be on top of it with his stomach hunched over, having the pressure from the yoga ball. Or we even had the end, and I've seen a lot of kids do this. Mine did it as well. It's interesting how brilliant our kids are. They figure out how to help themselves, but it was the end of the couch, like the arm of the couch. And he was literally like laying over, like just letting his stomach, have the pressure from the couch. So my thing is, if your child's not verbal, look at their behaviors after you give them the enzymes. Do they seem happier? Did their poops look better? Do they seem, not as irritable? And if they do have language, then ask them, like, how do you feel? And that's just something. It's not like a lot of other supplements, at least in my opinion, is you can't really tell, like, sometimes, are they doing anything? Like, if you take a multivitamin, like, I know it's good for me. I know, like, people, my hair feels shinier. Oh, my son, I don't know. I have no idea if my hair feels shinier or my skin. Maybe, I don't know. But I know it's good for me to take my multivitamin. I know that I need that. But with an enzyme, it's just not like that. Like, you take the enzyme, you eat your food, you know if it's going to work. And so that's what I love about that. I love that you guys give samples, and I love the education behind what you guys do in your company. How do people find out, what's your website so they can find you guys?
Just key into your search engine, Houston Enzymes or HoustonEnzymes.com. We'll get you right to our website. And all the info, contact info there's a lot of recorded conferences, webinars that I've put on, a lot of articles I've written on a number of subjects dealing with enzymes. The other thing, real quickly, just get back to your elaborate on something you said. Enzymes are classified as dietary supplements, and that encompasses a whole lot of things. And most supplements, to be honest, you take on faith because we really have no idea. You can't really tell, at least very quickly, if they're winning. But you're right. A good enzyme product, you'll notice with the first meal you take it, you will have less gas, less bloating. You won't feel so full. Your subsequent bowel movement from that meal should be better. So it's something you can find out at a max in 2 or 3 days if it's the right enzyme.
Absolutely. Well, I always love talking with you. Obviously, I love talking about enzymes. To me, enzymes are like the hidden thing that you didn't know you needed to know about. But once you learn about it, you're like, wow, how come I didn't know about this? I mean, it's one of those things for me. I remember when I first learned about enzymes, I was like, why is this not on the 5 o'clock news? Like, this is like what people should be talking about. So I absolutely love the education that you provide. I love your products. I love everything you do for the community. I know you've been, I remember meeting you, oh my goodness, I'm going to age myself, but over 15 years ago, you've been there before me. So like, it's, we've been doing this for a while, but you've helped thousands and thousands of people, Dr. Houston.
Yeah. Well, and I have to warn people, there's a picture of me on our website, and that's a few years ago. So I don't look like that anymore. So,
no. Well, I'm so grateful for everything that you do. I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful for learning from you and just kind of the community, everything that you do to help our kiddos. So thank you for being here, Dr. Houston. And again, just thank you for all that you do.
It's been my pleasure, Kristen.
And thank you guys for watching. And again, poop matters. If you didn't learn anything else, poop matters. Until next time. Bye, guys.